Welcome to the Coffee Break, everybody. Our Category 5 Community Coffee Break happens once a week. Right now, we're doing it on Sundays. We'll see. I think this is great, and it's good to see all of those who have been able to make it today. But this is a chance for us just to get together as a community and say hi. Obviously, this is not representative of our entire community, so we'll say each of you who is sitting here today represents 10,000 people. How does that make you feel? We're like Congress now. Look at that.
Yeah, so, our national TV station. Yeah, you
say that they have, I don't mean personally, BP9. Yeah.
Thank you.
Our sorry, national TV broadcast, they used to say that after a few, some programs that is controversial and stir up the viewers, they would sometimes say on the day after in the news that they had a phone storm. And by that, I mean three people called in, and they are saying that one phone call equals 1,000 people. So
wow, yeah. Yeah, I guess that's the way it works. It is June 14th, 2020, if you can believe it. And we're still under these crazy regulations, which we're not allowed to talk about on a coffee break. But one thing that I am seeing change a little bit here in Barrie is that people are, like contractors and tradespeople, are going back to work observing social distancing. But... The good news behind that is that, well, backing up a little bit, our contractor, the one that I had hired before the pandemic dropped, as soon as he was allowed to go back to work, of course, all of a sudden he's so busy that he doesn't even return emails at this point. So
inundated.
Yeah. So, and I don't blame him for that. Like I'm small fries. Like, I mean, if he's building somebody's basement out, and you know, like that's a big job, and so to come and hang up drapes for a studio is, you know, it's not going to be his top priority. But here at Studio E, as you may or may not know, Jen Wagger, who used to be a host on New Every Day, faith broadcast on our network, her church is utilizing the studio Saturday or Sunday mornings to do their service because they can't hold a service. So I'm here just kind of pushing the buttons. Tally comes in with me and she takes care of, she's kind of like my associate producer. So between you and me, that's like a little way to get her trained on how to be an editor and producer. So it's a good opportunity because I'm actually normally during my show, I'd be in the studio. So I'm actually here in the production room and popping it. Yeah. So
that's good experience for us.
A great experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's relatively easy too, like low demand. So
problems. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Welcome, Peter. Yeah. And I see Soldu, Lanceman 63, Marshman BP9, and now we've got Peter here with us as well. So all that to say, we were here this morning and they're like it's 9:30 in the morning, and all of a sudden we start hearing somebody with a rotary saw. Maybe.
Oh no.
So our studio is not soundproof. We definitely take advantage of the fact that because we broadcast Tech TV at 7 o'clock at night, or maybe 11 o'clock at night, who knows? there's typically nobody else in the building. Mm-hmm. So, or at least it's, you know, they're sitting at a desk doing paperwork or something. So it's pretty quiet. Mm-hmm. So all this to say, I hear a rotary saw and I'm like, oh no, this is going to affect their church service this morning. So I ran out into the hallway and I said, look, we're like half hour out from doing a church service and we're going to be doing that for an hour. You know, is there any way that, you know, you can try to do all your cutting now? And then, and he was just the nicest guy. He was like, oh yeah, no problem. He's just really kind and considerate and respected the fact that we were about to do a church service. So I just, you know, that was like cool. And then, he gave me his business card, and turns out that this contractor actually that like they're, office is here in the mall. how crazy ideal is that? So I said, like, are you taking jobs right now? How busy are you? And he's like, oh yeah, and we're right here in the mall, so it's really convenient. So he could just come by you know, meet me here after hours someday or something and take a look. So not wanting to push out the contractor who I was originally hoping to work with, but there are some things.
My mind is, I'm sure you have had the same thought when it dawned on you what happened, that this is, my I'm not sure how the English verse is, but when the Lord lays on some works for us to walk in, and he just lays everything done for us, and we can just walk, and it's really nice when he does that.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't feel bad, Robbie, because if your contractor can't even get to you, he's not hurting for work.
No, exactly. Yeah, you're right.
But it was the same here when I had a contractor doing the repair in the basement. They had lots of other work to do because of there was the flooding in the local area, and it was pouring down for 2 days. And they did those who had important, like if the bathroom needed to do work, they had the highest priority, and everything else had to wait.
And I think that's exactly what's happening. That's what I mean by hanging drapes in a TV studio is not a high priority right now. Right?
What, you're not essential?
We are, but we can operate without, right? So, So I'm really excited that, I don't know. I'm a very personal guy. Like I really like to know people and get, so the first contractor that I hired, the reason I wanted to hire him is like, he's a great guy. I really like the guy. He does good work, but he's a kind guy. I trust him. And that's a big part of it. So when I don't want to take business away from him, it's not about the business. It's about the personal, like, hey, I like that guy. I want to work with him. But this guy seemed really cool. So that could be good. So all that to say, I've been learning to accept the fact that I am going to have to do some of the things myself that I wasn't originally planning to do. And I'm having to adapt. And I think the biggest thing that I'm having to try to figure out is, some of you know that I had originally wanted to build a desk that looked kind of like a newsroom set with, you know, three chairs at it and everything. And now we're finding out that you've got to be 6 feet apart and or wear a mask. And it's like, okay, that doesn't really work with three people sitting next to one another at a desk. So I got to figure out how things have changed. But one thing that's really important is getting the wiring from the studio into the production room here. Yeah. And so I talked with Bo Lichnowsky from Ameridroid, and we kind of got chatting about it. And he came up with this amazing thing. You guys got to go to his website, Ameridroid.com, and click into the products, the new products. And what Bo designed is, because he has 3D printing capabilities and mad skills when it comes to like working. I don't even know how you do it. Like he builds it in 3D space in a computer program and then sends it to the printer. So what he's done is he's made what looks like a tube, but with a bit of a flange on the outside. And you put that through the hole that I've drilled in the wall. And then from the other side, you come back with another one and they screw together. So now on both sides of the wall, you've got basically a passage to get the cables through that's not a big stretch of PVC. And it looks like just a proper hole in the wall, but it has, because it's a tube, nothing is making contact with the drywall. So,
and you know, you could have cut that PVC down to like 6 inches or something instead of a...
But then, I don't have the tools.
Oh, okay.
I know it's silly. I don't have a hacksaw, so I'd have to go to a hardware store to buy a hacksaw, and I don't want to go to a hardware store.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So I thought about the Dremel, but you guys shot me down pretty quickly, cutting through 3-inch PVC pipe with a Dremel.
And if you decide to hang up, some studio lighting or so, make sure you have someone there. Not to even help you necessarily, but
Marshman taught me just don't even get up on a ladder without someone there.
Okay,
he gave me a over that at studio.
Well, that's what I mean. As long as you've got someone there to to call 9. Well, here it's 911, but whatever yours is, that's really, you know, the whole point, right?
Yeah.
You don't need someone there to help. You can do all the work. Just make sure that you have someone there to call for help.
Marshman has made that very clear. Mm-hmm. and I've heeded that warning. And so even moving into this space, I didn't get up on a ladder unless someone else was in the room with me. So, and that's good advice.
Yeah, I remember. I think he commented on that on one of the first coffee breaks.
Yeah.
So it's not fun lying on your back, trying to call for help and nobody's there.
In a studio after hours where nobody else is in the building until 10 a.m. the next morning.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm going to do really basic stuff. Yeah. I'm going to do really basic
stuff. My dad that I grew up with, my mom told me about when he finished school, when he was 12 or something. They had 7 years only then. In the last day after school, after the last year, day of, there was a week left or something, and they did a prank on the teacher and tied her up and gagged her and put her under the teacher's desk. And then they left Friday afternoon. What they didn't account for was that they had people coming to watch the school, so they found her after a few hours.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
that's a pretty scary prank right there.
Now, yeah,
I've run a prank. Well, not run a prank. I was helping with a prank on a teacher by stuffing a potato in the exhaust pipe of the car so that it would not start. And, you know, all the mechanics in the group would open up the hood and take the air filter off and off the carburetor. So, it looked very serious, you know, scared the crap out of the poor
teacher. You know what was in the news here?
It would start, but it would stop in a short while.
You know what hit the news here in Barrie is somebody went to their neighbor's car and filled their tailpipe with expansion foam.
Oh no.
I think it's even unwise to say it or even to put that in the news because it's like, now somebody else is going to do that. And what a horrible thing to do to somebody.
Yeah.
Well, my car is 100% electric, so I challenge anybody to find an exhaust pipe.
We've got the batteries.
So for your car, BP9, it's going to
wire cutters.
Glitter.
Wire cutters.
Oh. Or on the EMP.
He'll put spray foam inside the brake rotor.
Just reverse the polarity.
A few books with the jokes, and one of them is one of the books. They are in English, but one of them is things that children say. And one of the stories, very short, a few lines. There was a mother who was going to a shop for something, and she told her child to don't put a piece in your nose or something.
Yeah,
and. He hadn't had that idea before.
Oh, no. Yeah, exactly. You don't want to suggest the idea. As soon as you say it, now someone's going to try it. Yeah. I wonder what would happen if I put peas in my nose? That's, I think, one of the hardest things about parenting. You want to teach your kids not to do things, but by telling them don't do that, you're putting ideas in their head.
Basically, you're inviting them to do it.
Oh, I never would have thought of that.
Or telling someone high up on the ladder, don't look down. Guess what they're doing?
What you have to tell them is the stuff you want them to do, you tell them not to do it.
Yes. Yeah. Don't clean dad's car.
Don't clean your room. Yeah. I don't care.
Don't worry, I won't.
but then if I was a kid and I was told don't clean my room, fine. I won't clean my room. Thanks. Appreciate that.
Told me not to.
Yeah, cool.
Gotcha.
You're the coolest dad ever.
Yeah. There you go.
So what's going on in your guys' world as far as like tech projects go? What's keeping you occupied? One at a time. Don't all speak up at once.
Yeah, Eric.
Start with Solbu. Solbu's buddy Eric.
Yeah, he have in the service that he used to fetch TV information in order to when he rip something and put One of the items is it's a radar, it's called, or a sonar. There are two different products. Mm-hmm. And he wants to have a local copy of the server that you connect to in order to fetch the information. So we have been trying for a few days to get that to work. Haven't worked yet, but we are getting closer.
Fun to come up with a project like that. Yeah. Lance, man, what are you up to, dude?
Well, I told you that I had a bad HDMI cable.
Yeah, just before we went on air here. So
I found that after I installed Ubuntu. I realized that after I went through the problem of installing Ubuntu and had a bad CD or DVD rather, had to find a USB drive to put it on, and I installed it from a USB drive.
Yeah.
And then I realized I couldn't play the games I wanted to play on Ubuntu, so I went back to Windows.
Oh no.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
You could do a dual boot. I would consider a dual boot environment in a case like that if you really needed Windows for something, because then at least you could get back into Linux for like using the web and those kinds of things, like your
day-to-day that's true. Stuff.
Or what a few people are doing that some of them even do a few games. They have Ubuntu or a Linux system on, installed on there, and they have Windows in a virtual machine.
But although Windows in a virtual machine is not necessarily the best environment for gaming, that's all. It may have some hiccups. So
because a lot of games require direct access to the hardware in a virtual machine, won't let you have that.
Or you might have a little bit of like lag with the mouse or something like that.
I remember reading an article 20 years ago about someone who did just that. He installed Linux on his machine, and then he installed the Windows in a virtual machine. And the Windows in the virtual machine was faster than it ever was native on the system.
Yeah.
But you still don't get access to the hardware, though.
Right. Yeah. But if it works for you, though, it's sitting on a non-fragmenting file system. So even though NTFS will fragment itself, the file system that's holding that NTFS virtual drive is not fragmented. So that may have some impact on performance. Marshman, what are you up to, dude? Your mic is off.
I finally got my Vim3 extension board.
What is that doing for you? I took a look at it. It's like it adds a bunch of features to the Vim3, like NVMe or something like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, I have an NVMe drive. The new style is really fantastic because it just slides into the back of the board, and it stays flat with the board, unlike the original one, which requires a ribbon cable. This one slides right. It's beautiful. But sometimes, you know, we complain about the Raspberry Pis, you know, because they're just not so powerful, but their documentation is so much better than a lot of other SBCs. Mm-hmm. Like, I get this thing and I have the, you know, I had to create a case for it.
All right.
This mock-up. but I get the heatsink, and the only way to put the heatsink on is on the top, and they give you these screws that are triangle drive. Triangle. Who's got a triangle drive?
Did they not send you the screwdriver with it?
No. No screwdriver.
No. You've got to be kidding.
No screwdriver.
Are you serious? That is just wrong, Bill. I'm telling you what. I'm stepping away here because I know I saw it recently in my box of tricks.
What's funny is that a lot of the types of screws we have, like Torque and a few of the others, they started as part of some manufacturer didn't want people an easy way to unscrew things.
Yeah.
But Torx, I have Torx.
I have no idea. Everyone had that, but at the time it came, it was invented because they didn't want the consumer to fix their own stuff.
Yeah. Well, with the Vim3, though, when I got the Vim3 with the case and everything, it came with a little tiny screwdriver that has an orange handle. And that was the triangular thing. So I actually took a Sharpie and I wrote Vim3 on it.
Exactly.
So I have it somewhere. I really need to get like a tool chest or something like that, or some kind of a stacking unit that has all my tools in it. Because right now it's just like boxes and I come across them. But so I'm there sure is
after the coffee break, you'll find it immediately.
Yes, absolutely. But it's just a little orange-handled screwdriver.
Or just buy you another one. I guarantee you, the original one will show up after you buy the replacement. All the time.
Yeah,
but that wasn't the. That's not the worst part.
It gets better.
The heat sink. You start the screw, and it gets all the way to the bottom of the heat sink and stops because the hole is a different size.
No.
Yeah, it goes from a. It goes from an M2 to an M1.5.
What the?
And how do you attach it to the board? So I had to take a pin vise and put a drill bit in it and manually drill the heat sink.
Wow, dude. So it's coming together though?
Oh, I finally got it. I mean, you see all these, I don't know if you see these extra.
Here, let me zoom in for these folks so that we can see it a little better.
Standoffs there. I had to put them together. And this is actually a Raspberry Pi acrylic case.
Uh-huh.
So you see all these extra screw holes here. I had to drill holes in the acrylic because the Vim3 holes don't line up with anything else on the planet. They're just all over the place.
Wow.
But I've got
the good part is that you have a unit that is unique.
Yeah.
Vim3 with its riser hat in a case with the Raspberry Pi logo on it.
Exactly. And a Western Digital Black drive down here, 500 gig drive.
That's too cool. That is too cool. And those are powerful little SBCs, too. The AI chip.
That thing
boots. I think this is what they call the homemaking.
BP9, what are you up to, dude?
Well, I'm still trying to solve the puzzle of the. I don't know if you can see it. But
well, let's do the same thing. I can pin your video. So.
Oh, sure, that'll work.
Yeah. So you got the wire. Oh, and then your video freezes. Murphy's Law, guys.
Yeah. He's always the way.
There he is.
Oh, I'm back.
Yeah, you're back.
I don't see myself on the display though. But I've got the funky looking. And your camera is doing auto exposure too, by the way, Robbie.
Oh, well, so you know.
But I thought you'd want to know. You'd want to know.
I'm just on a webcam. I hooked up a webcam to the to the server in this room here. So
I've been. I don't know if you can see it. I'm going to jump to my view so that I can see it better. But I don't know if that's even in focus because I don't think the camera's wanting to focus very well. But if you
need one with auto exposure.
Well, the Poker phone just has what it has. You know, I think it's focusing on my face, but not on my, what if I do that? Does that help?
Could you maybe, if you drew a smiley, anyway. If you drew a smiley on the inner circuit board.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. There's a picture of it anyway on Discord. Have a look on Discord. You'll see a much better picture than what I can do here.
Yeah.
But those four holes that are spaced very closely together, I did a bunch of research on the Pine 64 site and on other sites that it branches off to. A fellow by the name of Lup Young, I think his name is. He's from Hong Kong, I think. And he's been doing a lot of work on these Pine Times.
Yeah.
And he says that he does not use the original programming cable that came with the Pine Time because the pins are too small. They don't make a reliable connection. So he said your best bet is to go get some AWG-22, so 22-gauge wire.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit thicker than these pins and will work a little more reliably. So some downstairs.
Having held that, like if I was to tin the cable, the contacts.
That's my plan. Okay. I'm going to take that 22-gauge wire and I'm going to tin it. So it'll be solid strand, not stranded, right? Mm-hmm. It'll also be just a little bit thicker, and I'm hoping I don't put so much solder on that it's too thick to put in the in the connector hole. But yeah, I'm five times
as much solder as
I know. That's what I get for being out of practice. So you know,
I use a tablespoon for flux.
Oh, okay. Oh boy. Okay. So I'm not going to solder the wires in place. I just don't want to do that because the fact is that if I want to get this to a point where I can program it and use it, I'm going to have to wear it at some point. So I want to ultimately avoid doing that.
Yeah.
So ultimately avoid tearing it up to the point where I can't wear it. Mm-hmm. So, and if not this unit, then whatever other unit I end up getting, I have to ultimately, my plan is to wear the thing. So
yeah,
I'll probably break it anyway, because anything I put on my wrist, I tend to tear up in any case. So, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, it is what it is. So,
mm-hmm. Actually, mine arrives.
Oh, you still haven't got it yet?
Still haven't got it. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, I still haven't solved the problem of as soon as I connect it, the Raspberry Pi shuts down. I start to get around that. Nobody else seems to be having a problem with that, so maybe I'll just have to get me a new Raspberry Pi or something. I don't know. So there's no messages to say why it's doing it or what. I don't know. So I'm currently blocked. I'm currently just stalled on that, and I can't move forward till I solve that.
Oh, I hope you do. Yeah, let us know how.
Me too, man.
Mine arrives, I'm going to start playing as well. Lance, man, real quick, you had a question for me, and then I want to throw over to Peter because almost out of time.
I was wondering, I have Discord on my phone, but how do I find Cat5's Discord server?
If you go to our website, category5.tv, click on Interact on the menu, and then you'll see Join the Discord server. And then that will launch a window that says Robbie Ferguson is inviting you to the Discord server, and you just click Join, and it'll add it to your list. So
thank you.
Yeah, be good
to have you there. Now, if you do that invite multiple times, you're going to show up in the Discord multiple times with different usernames?
Only if you have multiple accounts. I don't know. Ask Peter. He know.
Okay. Because
we have him under about 300 different Discord names.
Yeah, Peter. I wondered about that.
Peter, what have you been up to, my man? Real quick, because we're just about out of time, but I want to give you a chance to tell us what you're up to.
I solved the problem. I've done what I've done there. We've got the mats working and about to program the audio box, mm-hmm. video. One of my friends is like I said, on the thing, and we want to try work each other on TW with it. I got a PA connected to it, and we hope the on 80 meters go sometime. At the moment, he's not very well, very ill. So I hope he's not growing, because he's not very well most of the time, Sharon. But I managed to mention tomorrow. Mervyn Henry's coming tomorrow, and we're going to fix my big aerial, so I should be calibrated aboard.
Oh, cool! So you're going to—is the aerial for your ham radio setup?
Yeah.
Very cool.
The 12-meter aerial.
Well, hey, if it's 12 meters, you get him up on the top, and then you're social distancing.
Yeah,
you can do all the climbing.
He doesn't want me. I'm not climbing anymore because I used to climb, but not now because I'm not fit enough.
Yeah.
But talking about working, I did work a few stations on Russia using a DQ mode the other day. I worked into UA9, which is a Kazakhstan and the Mongolian border. So I did quite well on that on a few watts using my long wire. But I also went on 10 meters, and I think I had the local Catholic Church broadcasting. I think I should go for the RNIB, the RGB ward for working all Catholic churches.
So were you receiving them, or were you transmitting on their channel?
They shouldn't transmit on that channel. They're legal.
I wonder, it makes me wonder how much of it comes down to like the wireless mic packs we use, right? Like that's what I'm on right now, right?
No, 27.93.
No, because I'm on UHF.
This is on VHF, it's on HF, bottle band HF. And they did it before and they got their fingers. snapped by the DTI.
So they were using it to broadcast.
A mass broadcast.
Those Catholic churches with their hacker broadcasts, eh? They got some. They got some set up in the basement in a little tower on the mast.
By the way, I know where it's not very far away. It's in a Catholic area that has got a bit of money, so we won't tell her that. But they got told off last time.
Yeah.
To see how long they were last this time.
It's tough, though, because I'm sure, like any church or any, like churches are looking for ways to be able to bring their services to their congregation right now. So it makes sense that broadcast would be a way to do it. But these days, I think maybe the internet is a better way.
I believe it's illegal anyway.
They're
not allowed to do things like that.
Yeah.
That's what I also mended my field transmitter as well. I got out, but I found in a cupboard and repaired it. So I'm trying to get operational. Do you look?
Yeah. Good little setup going. So if you're going to broadcast your services or whatever you're going to do, make sure you get a license, okay? Because you don't want to get charged for not having a license to broadcast.
Oh, I got a license. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, no, I know you do. But, hey, that neighboring church. Hey, guys, we are all out of time. It's been great seeing you, and looking forward to seeing you Wednesday. We had some technical difficulties this past Wednesday, so I wasn't able to get the show up until Thursday evening, but at least that was a reliable way to do it. I'll let you guys know what's going to happen, but I'll always be here. I will always be here at the studio on Wednesday night. It's whether or not I'm able to go live. That's what I'm not sure yet.
I have a problem, Robbie, when you go past 12 o'clock, I have to go to bed.
I know. Believe me, dude, so do I. I don't intend to broadcast at 12 o'clock midnight. That's after I've been crying on the floor for a half hour already. That's that point. So
only about 2 o'clock in the morning for us. It's too much for me. I will do my best.
I'll do my absolute best every Wednesday to be on time if technology doesn't allow it. I think maybe I'll make the call a little bit earlier this week if it happens again, and we'll figure it out. So
you need your butt as well. Mm-hmm. You need your butt as well.
An idea could be that you have a you need to think about how long after the scheduled time that you are calling it as far as the live version.
When it's
5 hours for.
When the website says thank you for participating, you're gone.
I gotta fix that to account for the fact that I'm not always able to go live. So. But we'll get there. It's tough being all by myself, and it takes a huge amount of work to get a show up and running for you guys. So thank you for sticking with me, and I hope that you enjoy, even if it's on demand the next day or whatever I have to do to make it. I'll always have a show for you. That's my goal. Yeah. So I'm not taking down time or anything like that, as far as I know. But I do have some plans. Just to wrap up, because we're over time. July 1st is a holiday here in Canada, and it falls on a Wednesday. So I'm very pleased about that, because it means I can be here all day, treat it like a work day, get some things done, and hopefully start cracking ahead. And now that we might have somebody who could do some contract work for us, that's going to help as well. So,
nice.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Take it easy, everybody. Nice to see you. And I'll see you again this week in our Discord. And I'll see you on Wednesday as well. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks, Robbie.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.